Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. Thank you for tuning in to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Juliana Krieger, bringing you another edition of Health Matters, where we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual effects that illnesses have on patient and family. First of all, we will talk to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. Later, Pastor Lynn Hansen takes us through the struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. In this way, both doctor and pastor hope to give guidance and comfort to the burdened and weary souls, assuring them that God is with them and for them, no matter what. Previously, we spoke about anorexia, and today we will talk about dialysis. Here is Dr. Andrew Nicholson. Welcome back. Dr. Andrew, what is dialysis, and how does one get to the point of having to undergo dialysis?
Dialysis is where we doctors interfere with the renal function of the patient and try to take it over and run it. I think we need to think about what do kidneys do. Kidneys, there are two sort of bean-shaped organs in the loins of human beings. There are two of them, which is pretty good, so that one can fail and yet we will be able to cope pretty well. They essentially strain the blood of debris, the stuff that is produced from the breakdown of cells and of an end stage of respiration in cells. And in clearing out all this stuff from the body, it's a very important organ for making us feel well. People whose kidneys have packed up or are virtually packed up feel absolutely exhausted and have no energy to do anything. Quite often they get quite anemic as well. However, sometimes the reality is that if you're very old, you've got lots of other illnesses, time is coming to an end, and that you don't want to get involved with renal dialysis. So you can actually opt for symptom control without dialysis using injections of erythropoietin and vitamin D and various other drugs. And quite often the very elderly are better managed that way rather than having to trundle back and forth to hospital. They still need a good deal of close management, however.
This is not just something that can happen to older people. It can happen to younger people too.
They can do. It's more common in ladies than men because of the anatomy and plumbing of the lady means that she's more likely to develop chronic water infections. And these can affect eventually the kidney if it ascends up to the renal, up to the kidney itself. But also you have problems where sudden... an assault could actually cut the blood supply to a kidney. So this can happen to young people as well. It's really, you have to wait until the kidneys really are not functioning very well. And we use something called the glomerular filtration rate. Basically measures how effective the kidney is at removing all the gunk from the body. And normally, an ordinary person's GFR would be, one hopes, between 60 and 80 units. But you'd actually want to consider dialysis in somebody whose GFR reaches between 5 and 10 units. So really, the kidney's only working at 10 or 5% of its normal ability.
What sort of life can lead to kidney failure? And how can we help ourselves in avoiding getting to that point?
I think the problem with kidney failure is that it sneaks up on you. You don't really realise that you're not feeling very well, and you put it down to many other reasons. You think that, in fact, that it's something else that's causing it, the fact that you're tired. It's also associated with other illnesses, very specifically diabetes. And badly controlled diabetes is one of the commonest causes of renal failure. So the message is, you probably ought to know what your GFR, glomerular filtration rate, is, and it would be sensible for your doctor to measure this every, say, 5 years or so. And if you're a diabetic, for heaven's sake, get your control as optimum as possible. and stick to what the doctors say.
What are the psychological implications or effects when someone is diagnosed with kidney problems and then becomes dependent on dialysis?
Well, there are two sorts of dialysis, of course. One is plugging yourself into a machine that filtrates things out. The other is called peritoneal dialysis. The dialysis that we all understand is where you have to have your blood flushed out. And of course, this means that you have to be attached to a very expensive machine which is imperative to keep as scrupulously clean as possible. Some people have them in their own homes, but a lot of people now go to properly run centres that are attached to hospitals where they can actually have it done. It usually takes about 4 hours or so, roughly three times a week. If you have it done daily, that is the best thing to do, but it involves an awful lot of very intensive care. And life begins to revolve around this. You have to have something called a fistula formed, which is, you have to have an operation on your arm so the artery and the vein there is easily accessible and can be easily plugged into the machine. Obviously, the actual use of these machines is life-saving, but it means it completely changes your life. You become a slave to your trip to the machine to get it plugged in. And it's a reminder that without this, you would probably be dead. Now, the other sort of dialysis is called peritoneal dialysis. The peritoneum is the cavity that your guts are in your abdomen. And what happens is that at night, you're plugged into a machine that pumps fluid into your peritoneal cavity, and it allows the body, by osmosis, to allow all the gunk and muck and urea and other parts of the blood that you don't want or need to go into the peritoneal cavity. And this is removed and disposed of regularly. This is quite difficult, of course, because it does involve you having to lie down and have it done. It allows you to be independent in that you don't need to depend on a very expensive machine. You can actually do this during the day by walking around. You can actually do it so that it's done every, say, for 20 or 30 minutes spaced throughout the day. But quite often there are significant problems. The obvious one is, of course, you can get infections, and sometimes the catheter gets blocked. But nevertheless, some people find it is more preferable to use this rather than being attached to a very expensive machine. Because after all, keeping a machine clean that is involved in the blood is scrupulously important. Whereas putting fluid into the peritoneum, although it's very important that it's kept clean, the level of sterility is perhaps not as great. In many ways, though, that these techniques are there to get a window of opportunity for patients so they can undergo a transplant. Transplantation has really occurred in this country since the Second World War, and the realization that we can use drugs to suppress the immune reaction. After all, taking an organ out of somebody else and putting it in you normally involves a dramatic amount of rejection and sudden death for that organ. But we use drugs, very powerful drugs, to prevent and suppress that. The consequence of taking these drugs is that they can make you more prone to develop other illnesses, which can include cancer and other infections. But by and large, people find their life is far, far better having had a transplant. The transplant can come from a cadaver, a dead person, or it can come from a living person who's known to be a good match for your specific problems. We come then to the problem as to whether or not we should consider transplantation as to be valid and viable as a Christian. My real view is that if we can help somebody, then we ought to do so. And that we all ought to have a donor card which actually allows us to specifically opt in to allow people to take those parts of our body that we no longer have a use for when we are dead. However, quite often, the people who are most beneficial for the person who's to be transplanted are, in fact, the young who've been involved in car crashes and the like. And as a doctor, it is dreadfully difficult to approach a family who are coping with them, the fact that their loved one, their young person who they invested all their love and energy into, has suddenly died. And by the way, can we use his corneas and his kidneys and his heart? That is actually a very difficult thing to do. It's interesting to see how other countries manage this. Spain, very specifically, has a system whereby you have to opt out of being a donor, so that the presumption is that you have given permission for the use of your organs, unless you carry a card that says, no, you can't. Whereas this country does it the other way around. From the point of view of somebody with renal failure, the Spanish system is far, far better.
Thank you, Doctor. It's time for our break now, but stay tuned because there's more to come with Pastor Lynn Hansen after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Faith That Functions, an in-depth look at the Word of God with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
I take the text, as I do each week on Sunday, and delve into the richness of its meaning, what it meant for the audience of the time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Because, surprise, surprise, Jesus is still speaking to you and me through Scripture.
Every Wednesday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Hello, you're listening to Health Matters, and we welcome back Pastor Lynn to tell us about his experiences in the spiritual care of patients going through dialysis.
Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy Christian Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. In medicine, and the word dialysis comes from the Greek word dialusis, meaning disillusion, dia meaning through, and lysis meaning loosening or splitting. Well, dialysis is a process for removing waste and excess water from the blood and is used primarily to provide an artificial replacement for lost kidney function in people with renal failure. Dialysis may be used for those with an acute disturbance in kidney function, such as acute kidney injury or previously acute renal failure, or progressive but chronically worsening kidney function, a state known as chronic kidney disease stage 5, which is previously chronic renal failure or end-stage renal disease. The latter form may develop over months or years, but in contrast to acute kidney injury, is not usually reversible, and dialysis is regarded as a holding measure until a renal transplant can be performed, or sometimes as the only supportive measure in those for whom a transplant would be inappropriate. One day I went to a hospital to visit a member of my congregation. The member's name was Ray. I heard he wasn't doing very well. After several inquiries, I found Ray in the dialysis unit. We talked for a short time. Eventually, Ray said, "Pastor, this isn't any way to live life." A few days later, Ray died. A serious kidney disease is very troubling, but there is hope. Advances in medicine make it possible to keep living until healed or a transplant takes place. That, simply said, doesn't make the disease any less difficult to live with. Suffering from a life-threatening disease is never easy. Let us turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethsaida, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friend Ray gave up hope. He saw no reason to go on living. The man at the sheep gate held on for 38 years. He didn't give up. We don't know how old he was or how long he would have continued to wait to be healed. We do know he believed in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We know Jesus healed him. We must not think that faith in God will heal us from all disease. God never promised that. Yes, we pray for healing. Yes, we pray God would help us persevere during our affliction. But we must keep in mind that we may never be healed. The main point of this historical account is not the physical healing. The main point is spiritual healing. Jesus, God incarnate, forgave the man's sin. Jesus attended to the man's greatest need, forgiveness of sin. This too is our greatest need, forgiveness of sin. We were born with a condition called original sin that we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve. Plus, every day we sin in thought, word, and deed by what we do and what we don't do. Our greatest need is God's forgiveness. God knows this. That is why God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to redeem us from our sin. Jesus' work was to suffer the punishment we deserved. Jesus did this on the cross where he bore punishment for our sins. Doing so, Jesus redeemed us from death, sin, and Satan. Jesus now gives us the gift of redemption. There is no other way of salvation than that which Jesus earned for us. Jesus graciously gives us this gift. Sadly, just as Ray refused medical treatment, many people refuse God's gift of redemption. Jesus said, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Father, you know our needs, wants, and desires. You know that which afflicts us. You alone know how difficult life is for us suffering from a life-threatening disease. Help us to live a life that is pleasing unto you. Grace us with peace of mind, knowing that you care for us in all circumstances. If it be thy will, remove from us that which afflicts us in body, mind, and soul. Bless us with the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives to guide and direct our ways. These things we pray through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to continually read and study God's Word. This week, read more of Jesus' miracle in the Gospel according to St. John. Listen to God speak to you through His written Word. I encourage you to gather with other Christians to worship and for fellowship. If you don't have a church home, contact Lutheran Radio UK or the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England to locate a parish near you.
Thank you, Pastor. That was Clinical Chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen, all the way from St. Paul, Minnesota. Our team will be back next week when our topic will be painful shoulders. Please send us your contributions to the show via email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Remember to download podcasts from our show that you have missed or want to hear again from the website lutheranradio.co.uk. All of our shows are found under Program. Speak to you next time. God's blessings to you.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.